What is
biblical counseling?
Biblical counseling will grow you from brokenness to wholeness.
I think what you just said made me look at those scenarios differently.
God replaced all my junk with a beautiful light.
God's really been changing the way that I parent my children.
The most amazing thing is the sufficiency of His Word.
This is Transformed. And now your host, Assistant Professor of Biblical Counseling at the Master's University and Certified Biblical Counselor, Dr. Greg Gifford.
Welcome back to Transformed. My name is Dr. Greg Gifford, and today we're talking about how pornography is a sin that you can resist. And I know that's very straightforward, kind of direct. That title is intended to grab you and to remind you of the Holy Spirit's work in you as a believer. Pornography is something that is sobering. It terrifies me, just to be honest. I'm a man who is vulnerable to temptation as well. And although currently this is not a sin that I struggle with, I know that I'm one click away from looking at pornography. Is that a sobering way to say that? When we look at pornography, it's so pervasive. It lies just around every technological corner. It terrifies me because of what it does to a person's life, starting with the relationship with the Lord and then moving out to earthly relationships. It said, this is from Covenant Eyes, you know, they provide stats on the use of pornography, that 57% of teens search out pornography at least monthly. 1 in 5 youth pastors, 1 in 7 senior pastors use pornography on a regular basis. It's pervasive. In counseling, it terrifies me. I've seen boys as young as 10 be exposed to pornography. That's fourth grade if you're doing the math. I'm not familiar with what that looks like for ladies. A lot of the counseling that I do is with men or with their sons or marriages. But pornography, it's devastating. And as technology continues to rise and access to smartphones and tablet devices continue to rise, it's ubiquitous. It's almost expected that you just have a tablet device. And even those as young as 2 and 3 have their own iPad. So no shocker of the year that what happens is the sinful heart of man begins to use technology for their own sinful purposes. And pornography is a $1 billion industry. Billion. Think of the money that goes into tapping into wayward sinful desires. And then now you have a ubiquity, a pervasiveness of technological devices, and it's everywhere. You have to fight against it if you're ever going to see change in your life. But I want you to fight against it, first of all, by recognizing that addiction and pornography, it cannot happen. Your brain does not make you type in the words that would bring up pornography on your phone. Your brain does not do that. You have to break that mentality. The Conquer series stuff about how your brain changes chemistry. How did your brain get there in the first place? Because of the choices that you were making from your heart. Don't fall into the brain disease model of pornography. Don't fall into that. You'll never find freedom. You'll enable further faithlessness and unfaithfulness if you give into an addiction model of the use of pornography. If the stakes are high enough, this is a John Piperism, and when he said this, it gripped me. If the stakes are high enough, you can resist pornography. I've never in counseling met a guy who is at the local Pizza Hut eating dinner, opening up his laptop and looking at pornography. I've never seen that. I've never counseled with somebody who opens up their laptop in the middle of church and starts looking at pornography. Why? Because there are social structures restraining it. Where is pornography typically used? In private, on a phone or a tablet. So what does that mean? You have the self-control when you need it. Don't give in to addiction mindset with this, guys, gals, friends, co-laborers, sojourners with me. Don't give in to this. Pornography is a sin that you can resist with God's help. Romans 6 is true in our lives that sin and the power of sin is broken at the moment of our justification. I never have to give in to sin, 1 Corinthians 10:13. That's false. I never have to give in to sin. So don't give in to it. 1 Corinthians 6:19, the Spirit resides in you. He empowers you for sanctification and sanctifies you. It is Yahweh who sanctifies you. Do not give in to the mentality that you must sin. You don't have to sin. You do not have to because of the work of Christ in your life. Some of you are overwhelmed right now. You are burdened by your own sin and habitual use of pornography. Can I free you with this truth, the truth of Scripture? You don't have to stay there. You're trapped to something you don't have to be trapped to. You're laying your hands in the handcuffs, but you can pick them up with God's help. Oh, that every one of us would see that by God's grace and His Spirit, we're free from sin. We don't have to give in to pornography. We don't have to give in to our habitual impure desires. I want you to fight pornography, first of all, by recognizing this is not something your brain is causing you to do. That's wrong. It's patently false as a believer. Reject that mentality. Don't give in to it. You will victimize yourself and justify your sinful actions. Don't give in. Second, fight pornography with betterness. Would you grab your Bible? And if you have your Bible, go to Hebrews chapter 11. Fight against impurity with superiority. Fight against impurity with superiority. This is Hebrews 11, verse 6. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who draws near to God must believe that He is and that He's a rewarder of those that seek Him. The essentials of your faith is that you must believe that God exists and that He rewards those who seek Him. So chapter 11 of Hebrews is about those that are looking to the reward. But look at chapter 11, verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Regarding the reproach of Christ, greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. Hear me out on this. How do you reject something that is temporarily enjoyable? Take a cue from Moses. How do you reject something that is temporarily enjoyable? The passing pleasures of sin, Hebrews 11, 25. You don't reject it by meditating on how bad it is. Gross, shoo-wee, pornography is gross, ew. That will never do it for you. If you're struggling with the use of pornography, you're never going to highlight the badness of pornography and that set you free. You have to, in the words of Thomas Chalmers, you have to put before your eyes something better. That's what Moses does. That's what the whole chapter of Hebrews 11 is about. You are looking to something that is better. Moses chose rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Why? Because he sees the reproach of Christ as greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. God is better. Transform listeners, God is better. Christ is better. They're more rewarding to you. They're more satisfying. Your sin is not more satisfying than Christ. Do you believe that? Your sin is not more satisfying than Christ. How do you fight for purity? Ooh, I'm getting choked up here. How do you fight for purity? You fight for it with betterness. You fight for it by looking to Christ. He's so much better than my sin. He's so much better than my impure desires. The way that you find freedom in this, the way that you find freedom is not by meditating on the badness of your sin. It's by meditating on the superiority of Christ. Pure people are pure because they believe God's word. They believe in the character of God. You think something like this, you know what? Pornography would be temporarily pleasurable, and it would. But at God's right hand are pleasures forevermore, Psalm 16:11. So by faith, I resist the temptation towards sexual sin, and I look to the betterness of God. Ooh, that changes everything. It changes everything. There are practical things to implement, but where does your battle to be free? Where does your battle to be free from impurity in your technology? Where does that start with? It starts with you seeing that God in Christ is the best ever, period. There's nothing better than a life that's honoring to the Lord. That transforms your marriages. God's plans for your marriages are better. It transforms your dating relationships. Single folks, it transforms your singleness. God's plan for your singleness is better than your plan for your singleness. How does a person fight against pornography? You reject this mentality that you're addicted and your brain made you do it. That's wrong. That's straight up false. What do you do next? You fight it with betterness. God is better. Christ is better. And when you believe that, you slowly and slowly move to a point where you say something like, you know, I really don't want that anymore. I want God's plans for my life. I want to be a person of purity that's honoring to Him. Ooh, Daisy. Doesn't that sound nice? Some of you are so stuck in the nastiness of pornography that it almost sounds like a distant mirage. And I'm saying, no, it's real. It's real. It can happen in your life, but it has to happen this way. You have to resist sinful temptations with the superiority of God in Christ. And only you as a Christian, only you as a Christian can experience that true joy and satisfaction. So taste the betterness. Come taste and see. Come taste and see that the Lord, He is good. We got to take a break. When we come back, I want to give you practical tips for fighting against pornography, seeing that it's a sin you can resist. We'll be right back.
And we'll be back with more from Dr. Gifford in just a moment as he's been tackling this challenge of purity and pornography specifically today. And that reminds me of an incredibly helpful resource I think could benefit you a lot if you're struggling in this area. It's a booklet that's available in the store at FortisInstitute.org titled Understanding Temptation, The War With Your Heart by Mark Shaw. This little gem packs a punch. It shows you how Jesus confronted Satan when he was tempted, just like we are, and Shaw will help you see that there is victory over temptation when we understand our own sinful tendencies and the tactics of the enemy. It's a battle plan against temptation right in your pocket. It's pretty powerful stuff, and it's available to you right now at FortisInstitute.org. And speaking of having wisdom, I've got to tell you about something that's really exciting happening at the Masters University. TMU has just launched a new entrepreneur degree program, and it's not your typical business course. This program actually puts students in front of real investors to pitch their startup ideas. How's that for practical? It's a great example of how TMU is equipping the next generation of Christian leaders to make an impact in the business world. So if you're a high school senior or you know someone that is who has business savvy already, this could be a game changer for them. And with financial aid options like the Steadfast Scholarship, which covers 100% of tuition, there's really no better place than TMU. All details can be found right now at masters.edu/transformed. Now, for those of you who want to dig a little bit deeper in understanding yourself and others through the biblical lens, there's another book that I cannot recommend enough, Seeing with New Eyes by David Pallison. This is like putting on a pair of gospel glasses. Pallison helps you to look at common struggles, things like worry, feeling victimized, even how we understand love through the lens of Scripture. So if you've been thinking about becoming a biblical counselor, let me recommend Seeing with New Eyes by David Pallison, available right now at FortisInstitute.org. And before we get back to Dr. Gifford, I want to thank every single one of you who supports this ministry, Fortis Institute, through Gospel Partnership. Your generosity helps us to continue being able to tackle these tough topics with biblical truth. And if you're not already a Gospel Partner and you would like to join us in this effort, head on over to FortisInstitute.org and get all of the answers to any questions you may already have. But remember, make sure you're already faithfully giving to your local church first, and you're not strapped by any type of unmanaged debt. If those areas are right in your life, then please most definitely reach out about becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner. And now let's get back to our discussion on fighting for purity with Dr. Greg Gifford. This is Transformed. Welcome back to Transform.
The biblical counselor will use the Bible to expose, diagnose, and offer cure for the hurting heart.
And now your host, Dr. Greg Gifford.
Welcome back. I am emotionally hyped up. This is a topic that is very dear to me. We've been talking about pornography as a sin, and it terrifies me. It should terrify you. I have three boys. It terrifies me for their life. I think sometimes it feels like I'm the police officer who has just seen the bad things, you know, so I know what can happen. And counseling often brings with it the extremes. So you see the extreme of something. And definitely pornography has been checkered throughout my counseling history as I've counseled guys struggling with pornography, thinking through how it's impacted their daughters, their wives, their own ability to be married. Pornography is like plutonium. I want you to see it like that. I said this at a church up in Seattle this past year. I said, hey, if we all started to see that pornography is like plutonium, it would really help us to see victory with it. None of you have just a little bit of plutonium in your house. None of us would keep plutonium in our house. It's dangerous. If that stuff gets in your system, it will kill you. When you begin to see that pornography is like that, you'll start to gain victory. No more of this, well, he struggles with it and he struggles with it and they struggle with it. So, you know, the Lord understands, to use the words of J. Adams. There's a radical amputation that's taking place. If you don't see pornography as plutonium, you're never going to have victory over it. You'll always rationalize and justify your impurity. Cut it off. Pluck it off. Pluck it off? Pluck it out? Just pluck it. Get rid of it. You're eradicating anything that is encouraging you towards temptation. And at the moment of temptation, here is what you're doing. Matthew 5. Jesus says that lustful desires are where adultery starts. Where are you starting your repentance? Just as soon as your thoughts go wayward, you're repenting. Just as soon as you meditate on that image too long, that is a time for repentance. You have just sinned in your heart. And when you harbor that, it will culminate in the use of pornography. Let me say it another way. By the time you've reached for your device, you've already committed pornography in your heart. Where does repentance start? At the level of your thoughts. When you're tempted by something impure, you say, oh Lord, no, please no. That is raising up against the Lordship of Christ. Please forgive me of that. Help me to put on thoughts that are pure and lovely, Philippians 4:8. Put on thoughts about the betterness of God. Bust out a book about the attributes of God. When you're struggling to renew your mind, seriously, get Charnock's massive volume about theology proper, the character of God. Or get A.W. Pink's smaller book on the attributes of God. In the moment of temptation, don't just lie there and think, don't think bad thoughts, don't think bad thoughts. Remember, biblical change doesn't work that way. Biblical change works by putting off and putting on. So put off, repent of those sinful, immoral thoughts, and put on thoughts about the superiority of God in Christ Jesus. Meditate on Colossians 1:15-18. Meditate on Hebrews 1:1-3. Meditate on 1 John 4:7-8, the love of God. When we meditate on the attributes of God, we're putting on pure, lovely, honorable, true, just thoughts. Practically, start with porn as plutonium. Repent of thoughts that are immoral and then move to putting on thoughts that are honoring to the Lord, renewing your mind with the truth of Scripture, Romans 12:2. Number four, if you're listening to this, or maybe you'll go back and even re-listen to this segment, I want you to be a crazy person about your technology. What's the most you spend on a device? Let's just say it's $1,700. That's about the cost of a MacBook Pro, about $1,700. I would rather you grab that MacBook Pro, fling it as far as you can fling things. For me, it's about 7 to 8 feet. Boom! Goodbye, $1,700. Because in the greater scheme of eternity, I would rather lose $1,700 than bust hell wide open, Matthew 5. I would rather you take your laptop, chuck it into the pool on the first level, wash it away, lose all of the documents, the pictures, all of those things. I would rather you do that than look at pornography. Seriously, we're not playing games with this. We're not going to use our phone as our alarm clock if we struggle with purity. In fact, we're not going to bring tablets and devices back into our room at all. We're going to use them in the living room or at the kitchen table. That's it. No devices in your room, period. No exceptions. If you're trying to get pure, be crazy about the way that you use your devices. Be crazy. 9 times out of 10, it's a person's phone or iPad, mostly their phone. So be crazy about the way you use your phone. Be pure. Walk in the light with the use of your devices. Think of this like transparency, technological transparency. Some of you, your heart skips a beat when someone else grabs your phone. Your stomach sinks a little bit. You're like edgy. We can tell it. We grab your phone and you're like acting weird. Shame on you. Number one, use your phone in such a way that it's a conduit of glorifying God, not stealing his glory through impurity. You're not using your phone the way it was intended to be used. Your phone is intended to be a means of glorifying God. So technological transparency means something like, you can have my password. I mean, my bank account's still locked on my app, so you can have the password to my phone. If you're in a marriage relationship, your spouse has your password. Maybe you're even allowing your children to have your password. They're going to fire up PBS Kids or Disney Plus on your phone. There's a technological transparency. There isn't a device that you have that is just yours and no one else has access to it. If you have a work computer and you work from home, I know that there are balances that come with that. But what I would say to you is that you need to be very cautious about using that work computer for anything non-work related, anything, even if you're just Amazoning something or buying movie tickets that evening. That you're going to be super diligent about the way that you use your devices. And you're like, wait, Dr. Gifford, you're becoming the Pharisee 3.0 with technology. No, I'm not. I don't want to be that, at least. But I recognize that many of us are just simply living foolishly when it comes to the use of our technology. If you are struggling with the use of pornography, you need to get a grip. You need to get a grip. Quit justifying the use of a smartphone and a laptop. You don't need it. Go work in a shared space. If you have to work from home, go rent one of those spaces where you have to work in public. You got to get a grip. Stop justifying that. Every time I see a guy get stuck, it's because he's unwilling to eradicate and inconvenience himself for a period. Walk in the light. Technological transparency. Never, ever, ever, you ready for this? Never, ever, ever delete your browsing history. What do you got to hide? Why would you ever delete that? I mean, you're not in the NSA. You're not working for the government and you have people stalking you. Most of you are just like myself. We're just average Joes. We're just shopping online, Googling, watching ESPN. Like, this is just, so why would you delete your browsing history? Why would you ever clean things up? So as soon as we start to get protective with our devices, not transparent, we won't share passwords. We're kind of fidgety when you grab our tablet. Only we can use that device. Then we know that we're on a slippery slope for sure. I want you to be so free that whenever your 8-year-old comes and grabs your phone, your heart doesn't skip a beat. When your spouse reaches for your phone, your heart doesn't skip a beat. You hand it to him and you say, yeah, here you go. Go for it. Check it out. Go look through my browsing history. Start with my Google word searches and see what populates from there. When you live that way, you're walking in the light as the Lord is in the light. And then you know that your fellowship with other Christians is right, but more importantly, your fellowship with Jesus is right. At the end of the day, if you're not changing practical things like this, listeners, hear me. If you don't change practical things, you're not going to change. You don't change. You're stuck. And the reason you're stuck is because you're unwilling to take steps of obedience. So why do you take these steps of obedience? Because God is better. Christ is better. You want to taste and see that the Lord, he is good. You want to taste him more. And you recognize that the world is inferior. It's passing away and its lusts are passing away. Its desires are passing away. But God and the things of God will remain forever. 1 John 2:15-16. So what is the key takeaway from today? You fight against impurity by recognizing that addiction model is not true for the use of pornography. You're not stuck, but you must fight it with seeing God as being better. That is how you fight, with the betterness of God. Let me pray for all of us that we would be pure people. Lord, we come to you and you are a holy God and you are sanctifying us and setting us apart. There is not one person under the sound of this podcast that is exempt from temptation to impurity, myself included. Help us to be zealous about purity because we love you and we want to continue to love you. Help us to fight and sometimes come across as silly in the things that we don't do because we love you and we want to be holy. We want to fellowship with you. We see you as better. We see your son Jesus as better. So don't let our sins separate us from you. Keep us, Lord, guard us, we pray. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
This has been Transformed from Dr. Greg Gifford, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Transform with Dr. Greg Gifford, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.